said, got it.
All right, thank you, Ursula. Tom, you get a chance to be able to hear the guy in the wagon. Tom, the wooden wagon has been coming by without you. Is that okay?
That's right. My advanced technology made it a self-driving wagon, so who needs me?
Crazy how that happens. We are going to keep playing this guy because he's about 7 minutes of it. It's a man who's in the streets of, we believe, New York City. He's a little guy. For some reason, he just gets some sort of, he's a little man, but he's very, very angry. And he was mad at a guy who happened to be playing a trumpet. And I found this on the internet after you were reading a whole bunch of other stuff. I spent about 45 minutes, found this thing, and I'm just going to milk it. So here we go. Small, angry man. He's in the wooden wagon. The wooden wagon, normally driven by Tom. And he's holding on to the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. And man, he's mad.
I'm an NYU film school graduate, sucker. And the School of Visual Arts.
Understand?
The Academy of Art University in San Francisco. You suck.
Got it.
There you go. It's good. Good stuff. Good stuff.
You know, I don't think we have some great guests in our studio.
Tom, we had to take care of the radio stuff first.
Okay, but they can't hear what we just, all that radio brilliance they missed.
Well, when Jacob gets back in here, we'll give him everybody headsets. All right, 1-888-973-5476. For some reason, nobody called.
That's not the way to pitch it.
Tom, again, there is no curtain.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
The hell's wrong with you people? 1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5476. It's like doing one of those lonely call-in shows at 1 in the morning on a Sunday.
I say we have four volunteers standing by right now.
Phone lines, for some reason, are wide open. We're talking about how you like your bacon. Crispy or not so crispy. 1-888-973-5476. Get on the phone, talk to Jacob. It's really sad when I have to sell, get on the air to talk to Jacob. That's a new low. All right. That's all going to happen. And the other big news is that when Providence St. Pete Foundation, which is a great organization in Olympia, hired me to be the auctioneer, they said, hey, would you mind donating an item? And I was like, ew, God, I don't want to donate. Because I don't mind the idea of but it's always the embarrassing thing is you start the bidding off at $100 and there's just, it's dead air, like Jacob in there trying to answer the phone.
Right.
So I was shocked when the item, I think it was item 17, come in and spend an hour with the Tom and Curly Show and then have lunch with the Tom and Curly Show.
Uh-huh.
I started the bidding at $100.
Uh-huh.
Thinking, well, at two, we'll call it good, and we'll be done, and we'll sell it to one poor person who felt sorry for it.
Yes.
And I was shocked. Who wants to talk for the crowd? Come on, one of you get up here and explain why you're here. Come on, take the microphone. Come on.
Here you go. You ready? You get that? I'm going to give you this. Tom, Phil.
Yeah, that's right. So as John is headphoning our guests.
Yes.
Our guests are the... the lucky suckers.
Yes, the lucky suckers.
To bid, get the winning bid for a chance to witness this mayhem on our air.
Please identify yourself.
Yep, my name's Steve Boone. I'm happy to be here this morning, but we were the lucky bidders. We were also the high bidders. Imagine that.
That's the way I know. That's how Curly works at these auctions. I should have tipped you off.
Steve's been to enough of these things. He goes, I guess I won. You don't look like a winner. Yeah, I guess I won. So, yeah.
I think we should, John, we should have a call in.
Yes.
And have people guess how much we paid to be here this
morning. Yeah. We've been talking about that for 2 weeks now, believe me. Oh, yeah, we've made a big deal
John
about it.
John milks the sound of the guy in the wagon. He's been milking your donation weeks now.
A lot of money.
Well, I'm probably the only person.
Yes.
I'm probably the only person who'll give their real name then if you've been talking about how much we paid.
Well, listen, all goes to a good cause, as they say. All right, you guys will have a job. First of all, you're going to do the know-it-all quiz. So I'm going to give each one of you the questions and then the answers. Well, don't worry about it. Believe me, no one's listening. The fact we can't get anybody to call basically said there's nobody out there. Don't panic. And we'll take care of that in just a little bit when we get somebody on the phone, 1-888-973-5476. Steve, well done. You can sit and listen to it if you want, or we're going to start. Let's get into it. I've already dove into the water. Oh, and one last thing. Somebody told me again, hey, when are you going to stick that enema up your nose?
That's right. Nose enema.
Question for the audience, just real quick before we get to the first story. I have I made fun of Tom because Tom did a neti pot. We did a story about a neti pot. This person had water, got into her nose from tap water, and then in a sad story,
that's
amoeba
right.
got
it's
in
terrible.
And ate through, got up into her brain and killed her. the neurologist said it was odd, so I sent it to someone to have it tested, and we found out it was an amoeba that came through the tap water after she had done a neti pot after some time. Tom announced that he has done a neti pot, and I said, well, that's for wimps. What you want to do is get yourself an enema bag, and you stick this end up your nose, and you flip this part up in the air, and it shoots in faster, and it's more exciting. I said, the people paid $15,000 to come to the Tom and Curly show. Don't you think they'd want some extra show?
Yeah. And I don't think nose enemas were on the agenda, but you are willing to do it for them. So you're going to leave it in them. Yes, right.
Well, first
of
all,
you are risking your life.
Yes. And as an Amazon Prime member, that thing came to me in 12 hours.
You know, next time you can auction that off instead of the show.
All right, here we go. Real quick, would Seattle drink coffee from the Stanley Cup? A story just basically looking into how is Seattle going to get ready and how exciting are we for our big NHL team that's going to be coming in 2021. The article basically points out that it seems like the guy has decided there's just so many cliches about Seattle, he has to slip them all into this story.
Yes,
dealing with
does.
Hockey.
But it is true. I mean, basically it sounds like the New York Times sent a New Yorker type out to Seattle to see what the kind of receptivity we have in this country or in this this area for a hockey team. And he says, because the way we think of hockey, we think of them as sort of these bruising, bustling hockey teams, really, you know, men of the street types, you know, and how is that going to fit in this tech-loving, latte-sipping city? That's basically the whole thrust behind it, is that what are we going to do? We all cheered when we found out, apparently, according to this New Yorker, that the NHL was going to give us a team. Well, we put a fork in our organic salad and popped the top of a craft beer.
Okay.
So that's basically what he's doing with it. Then he goes and interviews. You know, the Angry Beaver is a place out in my infamous neighborhood, Greenwood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're the number one full-on hockey bar in the town. And so they talk to him about how excited he is. And basically he says he's very excited, and there are a few lifelong fans. But reason there's so much energy around an NHL team right now are transplants. They're all East Coast transplants that bring their love of hockey. They all have their favorite team, the Boston Bruins or whatever. They come to Seattle, they miss it here, and that's what they want. And so the overall reflection here, in addition to a lot of cliches about Seattle, guess what?
Did he include in there Sleepless in Seattle?
No, he didn't. In fact, we'll give him credit for that.
God.
He mentioned the 16-foot statue of Vladimir Lenin, and our nude bicyclist in the Fremont parade, the Craggy Troll, grunge music, Jimi Hendrix and Quincy Jones and Bruce Lee. So he got them all in there, all the cliches in.
Got it.
Then he just, you know, ended up saying that, will hockey survive in Seattle? He says, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have a cappuccino with that.
Okay.
Clever coffee reference.
Okay. Stephen A. Smith, who has never been a loss for words, was on yesterday. Was this at halftime or the pre-show? This is the pre-show.
No, this is during his show, I think. It's a sports talk show he has called First Take.
Right.
It's 2 hours of just talking, and they're talking about the big previewing the game last night between the Chargers and the Chiefs, two of the best teams in the NFL.
Stephen A. Smith is often heard on there saying, so-and-so and such is a close personal friend of mine.
Yes.
So this hurts me to say it, and then he rips him to pieces.
That's right.
Okay, so he's
a blowhard and a know-it-all.
Yes, and he likes to use, occasionally he uses big words, and he likes the fact that he uses the big words. So he screws up a bunch of times. For some reason, somebody found this and put it up on the internet, and he is continuously making mistakes. He starts off by mentioning a player. He says, I'm going to be watching the matchup between this player and that player. And then the one guy jumps in and tells him, remember, he's not playing today. He's injured, so he's out.
Yeah.
So now you can see Stephen A. Smith is now struggling to, like, include other people that may be in a matchup and the defensive backs. And he is now pulling names out of the hat and the people will not be on the field. So he has like a meltdown on the air, but you can't even tell because he just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah.
Do we have some idea when how many times he screws up?
Yeah, so I've got a buzzer I can play every time he says the name of a player that is already gets something wrong.
Okay, here we go. So basically making fun of another radio or TV person making mistakes. Here we go.
And I'm going to have some faith in Spencer Ware and thinking that, you know, he can do some things. I'm keeping my eyes on this matchup.
Okay, we're going to start over again so we can hear your computer.
Was there a buzzer?
Yes. There was, really. It was soft. It was a soft buzzer.
Here we go.
And I'm going to have some faith
silent buzzer.
In Spencer Ware and...
By the way, we screwed up already.
Thinking that, you know, he can do some things. I'm keeping my eyes on this matchup right here.
Spencer
Ware is
out.
I'm sorry?
Spencer Ware is out.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I'm sorry, Max.
Yeah,
absolutely. He is out. But I'm thinking Tyreek Hill. I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes. I'm also looking at the San Diego Chargers on offense, and I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derek Johnson, and I got to keep my eyes on that because I'm looking at it from the standpoint.
Wow.
So, yeah. So Hunter Henry hasn't played all season. Derek Johnson doesn't play on the Chiefs. I mean, he got like four mistakes in like 15 seconds. And for a know-it-all.
I'm looking for Tito Jackson to make some yes. Hay out in the backfield.
The only reason this is getting a lot of play is because he's such a know-it-all. People love to kind of turn the tables on him. But also that the L.A. Chargers put out a tweet that said, update, LaDainian Tomlinson, Dan Fouts, and Lance Allworth are all out for tonight. Anybody who knows anything about football realizes that those guys were playing 20 and 30 years ago, and so they're having some fun with it. And he admits that he says, okay, sorry, I'm multitasking.
Yeah.
I've got a brain lock, you know, excuse me. You know, he says, now, if you accuse me of being on the weed, which is always his biggest gripe against the players, he says, you know, there may be more, you know, sense behind that. But still, it's just fun when a know-it-all gets his comeuppance.
I have been corrected by you off the air, and then finally you corrected me on the air the other day.
Yeah, that's right. I have to. You are my own personal Stephen A. Smith, and I have to pick and choose which times I should correct
you. I do appreciate
you.
That, because if not, the show would be constantly derailed.
That's right.
I say offsides. It's an offsides kick. I didn't know.
Onsides kick. No, you said onsides.
Onsides. I add the S.
Yeah, you just add the S, yeah.
Right. Which, but apparently, enough people picked up on it, and then you would sit there for the last 4 or 5 years and never correct me.
That's right.
That's a regionalism. We call it an onsides kick.
Yeah, regionalism inside the Curly household, maybe.
So you let me.
That's right. Very quietly.
Crap that one out for 4 years. Then finally you had to say something.
I think it's a reason. I think you've only been doing it for this season. And so I was thinking, I was being sympathetic. But then I realized every time if I hear it, there are probably 100,000 people who hear the same thing and wondering, why does John keep saying it? So by the third time you said it, then I just had to say, you know, John, just for your own.
It's so singular.
I guess it's an onside kick.
Not onsides.
No. You can be offsides. But you can't have an onside kick.
Is it a boy or is it a girl? Some parents learning their child's sex is disappointing. The fact that I asked a friend of mine over at Swedish, it's a buddy of mine is having a baby, and she does not want to find out the sex of the child. And I said, how many people find out the sex of the child? 87% at Swedish find out the sex of the child because they want to be able to prepare, get ready, paint the room, do all this other stuff, because it's a stressful time to begin with. And by knowing the sex, somehow they feel like, well, now at least we've got that taken care of. So when the kid arrives, we'll know what color the room should be.
And it's funny because we're both old school.
Yeah.
Of course, we're both old, too. So that might explain it. But yeah, my wife and I did not want to know, and we didn't know, and we're surprised. And same case with you, but we are in a distinct minority.
Let's do a poll of other old people in the room. You ready? By a show of hands, how many people here have given birth? And guys are included in this as well. Did you find out the sex of the child? Yes or no? You did. Did not. Too old to find out. Okay. All right. Well, you could have done the Drano test. That's where you go to the bathroom in the toilet. Somebody drops a small grain of Drano into the toilet. If the color of the water turns brown, it is a male. And if it turns a different color, it's a female. And that's just one of the tests. Not recommended because Drano is so toxic. What's wrong?
It's probably also not recommended because there's no truth to it.
It is true. I looked it up on the internet.
Then it must be true.
Right here. Oh, my God. It's not recommended for pregnant ladies.
Okay.
Well, I don't know who else you do it for. Apparently. Do it for Tom. Tom goes to
the
bathroom.
Forget the nose enema. Let's go do the Drano drop.
All right. Anyway, why are they disappointed now?
Well, no, what they say is that right now the big thing to do if you're pregnant and you find out, you have reveal parties, but you also post the revelations on the internet for all the world to see.
Yeah.
And they say now we're in this kind of dicey dilemma because a lot of times people find out for the first time while they're being filmed and they're disappointed. And so they try to, oh, great. They try to hide their disappointment. And so they're talking about how many couples actually are disappointed in the sex of their baby when they find out. And they talk about, you know, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And they say, in general, women want to have girls.
Right.
They want that bond more so than, and most fathers want to have boys. There's this kind of self-identification issue going on. But women want it much more desperately than men do. And so it's a real kind of crisis for a lot of women who are expecting so much you know, to have a girl when they don't have a girl.
Right.
And someone, they talked to a boy. I mean, they talked to a man who was hoping for a boy, and he realized this is their second child. They're only going to have two kids. And it turned out to be a girl, so it was two girls. And he said, yeah, he was initially disappointed, but he got over it pretty fast. I come from a family of five boys.
Right.
My wife just assumed that we were going to have boys. The fact that we had two girls is really a stunner.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, my girls are always asking me, so, Dad, you really wish you know, there could have been a Thomas James Tangney the IV and all this. And I said, you know, before you guys were born, I was kind of speculating that. That's what we were kind of assuming.
Uh-huh.
But once they were born, I wouldn't want anything different. I'm surprised that people are secretly disappointed. And, you know, they say they try to do their best to get over it. But it is a big issue, psychological issue for some people.
I've got friends that have like three boys, and then they said, we're going to get pregnant again because we want to get a girl.
Yeah.
But I think that's so unfair because the chances, if you have two boys or three boys, the chance of having another boy, I think, is like 80%.
Yeah.
It keeps going up, up, up. So then it's like, well, we found out we're not having a girl. So that kid, the reason they had that kid was to get a girl, right? It's like a drunk at 3 o'clock in the morning at a craps table. He's like, oh, roll again.
Yeah.
So the woman's like, oh, didn't get one this time. Were you going to go back in again and keep going?
I know. That's why there are.
I don't mean literally. I mean, well, literally and figuratively speaking. So then, yeah, they end up with another one.
Well, and there are like caboose babies, you know, after they've raised a family, and all of a sudden they have an unexpected one. But still, I think it is interesting that now I think people that decide not to know are really going to get phased out. It's like so ridiculous. The idea that you'd have to do something extra to find out if you're going to have a kid. Now it seems like it's so common. If 87%, it's going to be weird because that means everybody in that hospital knows but you, and they're keeping the secret from you. It just feels kind of silly.
Why not? I think that's great.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's fine. I just think it's going to get more, less and less. Fewer and fewer people are going to be doing that.
Well, you can do the wedding ring test, and that's where you take a piece of hair. Oh, never mind. Actor Ben Schwartz.
It floats. She's not a witch.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what it is. You get a piece of hair, and you put it, you dangle it, you put the ring, you put the hair over it. Then you have the pregnant lady lay down, and you hold the ring, the wedding ring, over her belly. If it swings back and forth like a pendulum, she's having a boy. If it swings stronger circular motion, she's having a girl. There's no hard science behind this to support it. Get yourself a small amount of Drano.
All right, there we go.
All right, by the way, do we have anybody that's going to play the know-it-all quiz?
We do.
All right. This could go in down in flames, this whole thing.
Yeah, we hope.
Right. So you guys, you're going to, each one of you will read one of the questions. Okay. And do you want to do the answers, Tom?
I'll do the answers, or we could flip them. They could do the answers. You could do the questions.
Either way.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's give them a bigger part. Guys, you okay with this? By the way, you have no reason to be nervous. You see how crappy we are, and we're being paid. You got that, right? Low bar every time.
Do they look nervous?
Just barely awake. We'll come right back.
Why are we here?
Here we go. Lake Washington Windows and Doors, thanks a lot for sponsoring the Tom and Curly Show. If you got a door that's not set right, there's money flying out through the cracks in the door and the window as well. Make sure your Lake Washington Windows and Doors gets a call from you. Check them out online. They'll have them come by and fix up your house for you. All right, here's what happened about two, three weeks ago. Providence decided they would have an auction, and they put an item up. And the item was spend the day or spend an hour with the Tom and Curly Show and then go to lunch. That was the item. And Steve, Rob, Helena, and Michelle all bid on the thing. Well, actually, bidding got up to like $7,000-some. I said, you know what? Bang, we'll do it twice. I think it raised like $14,000 or $15,000. So don't hold that against these guys, because really it's not about their love of the show. It's about their love of Providence, Tom,
that's
and the great work that they do there in Olympia.
That's for sure.
There's no, please do not start to judge them like, wow, that's a lot of money to waste on this show. Don't think about it that way. That's not the right way, right, Steve? You don't want to think about it that way, right?
Sometimes.
Okay, we are.
It's true.
That's called buyer's remorse right there. Normally, I don't get a
times
chance.
Four.
I don't get a chance to see the people after they make the mistake of buying. I'm whisked away into a parking lot, and to have to look them in the eye. It's very disconcerting. By the way, you can watch all of this on Facebook Live for some strange reason. We do put this up on Friday. It's a know-it-all quiz brought to you by Muckleshoot Bingo. How many people have tuned in right now, Mike, that are watching?
10 double
Ten.
Digits.
That's because we've got four people in the studio. Yeah, they all know one person, and that's where that all comes from. All right, you ready to do this? We're going to have these guys read the questions. Tom, you take care of the answers, and now let's meet our guest. Her name is Rachel. She self-described. A stay-at-home monster wrangler. She lives in Lacey, and she's 29 years old. Her husband's in the military. He was just deployed on Monday. The only reason she's listening to the Tom and Curly show is because it's the last station he left on the car before he left. Rachel, I don't know whether to be flattered, embarrassed, or try to find a different contestant.
Well, you should be flattered because I left it on. It's been about 4 days now, so it's still on the radio. We don't drive often, but it's still on there, so be flattered.
Yes, and it's in honor of your husband. I think that's a great gesture, and you need to keep that on Cairo Radio until he returns.
Yes.
Just a short trip overseas. He'll be back next week, so not that big of a deal. But I think I'll leave it on, and then we won't have to fight over the station.
Okay.
Take the music out for 1 second, please, Jennifer. I detect a slight accent. I'm going to place Rachel. She's somewhere between New York and Baltimore. I'm going to move her a little more north. I'm going to move her either outside of Philadelphia, up in towards New Jersey. I'm going to see her somewhere in North Jersey. Rachel, where are you from?
Did you Facebook me? I'm from Baltimore.
Really? Yeah, but that's close enough.
No, but I took her out of Baltimore because Baltimore is the ugliest accent in the world, and Rachel does not have
it.
And
she's already suspicious. Did you Facebook me?
Oh, I Facebook you. Please.
Well, so all of my friends have really strong Baltimore accents, but since my husband joined the military 10 years ago, we lived in Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, and just this summer came to Washington. So technically, I've had a little bit of time away from home.
But what are some of the really classic Baltimore words?
Hun is a big thing.
Yeah.
Hun.
Use it. Give me your best Baltimore accent. Sound like one of your friends and use the word hun in a sentence.
Oh, goodness. We're going down to the ocean, hun, to see the water. Probably be. But that's holding back laughing, too. So
I got it.
Much better.
I got it. All right, hon. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. That's a Philadelphia accent. Here's what's going to happen, Rachel. All you got to do is get how many right, Tom?
Do you prefer Tom or Curly? You probably don't know either of us, do you?
I really don't know too much.
Okay. Perfect.
Then we'll Facebook us.
Yeah. So there,
I truly will.
You're going to get 5 questions. If you can get 3 right, you'll win the prize.
Okay. No, hold on.
Okay. Are they multiple choice?
Rachel,
yes,
here's
they're multiple choice.
Rachel, here's the deal. Tom is a socialist. I am for freedom. Do you want more government control over your life or less, which your husband fights for every single day?
I just want the government to leave me and my guns alone, and that'll be it.
How many does she have to get right now, Tom? How many does she have to get right now?
2.
Here we go. Rachel, don't intend of everything we established, you call it a friendship. Government, leave me and my guns alone. Wow. All right, hon. I'm going down the shore to look at that water. You ready?
Some birds.
Okay, here we go. Steve will read the first. Oh, I read the first question. Just show Steve how it works. Ready? Number 1. I screwed up a story this week thanks to my dyslexia. I read a word wrong, and it completely changed the story. The story was about putting cats on what, Tom?
A, a leash. B, a lease. Or C, a shelf.
A shelf.
Or A, a leash.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go. Number 2. At this point, how many does she have right, Tom?
She is 0 for 1 or 1 for 1, depending on how generous we are.
Here we go, Steve. Question number 2.
If you can measure this part of a man's body, you can tell whether he will cheat or not.
Tom.
A, his face. B, his hands. C, you know the part. I don't need to say it. If it measures under 3 inches, he's not likely to cheat simply because he can't.
I would say C.
Most people would say C, but this research told us it's A. At this point, Rachel has how many right, Tom?
Well, I like Rachel, so I'm going to say she's 2 for 2. But we all know better.
There we go. All right. Rob's got question number 3.
A major research study proved if you go to this place before going to a grocery store, you are less likely to buy stuff.
A, a casino. B, church. C, another grocery store. Wow, it took a study to tell us that? What would we do without experts?
Rachel.
Let's say a casino.
Or B, at this point, Tom, how many does Rachel have correct, and at what point will she turn the channel on the radio in her car?
The answer being church, she's 0-3, but in my heart, she's 3-3.
There's question number 4. Let's go, Michelle.
Steph Curry does not believe this historical event ever happened. Mm-hmm. What never happened, according to the basketball player?
Tom.
A, World War II. B, Rob and Fab were outed after a lip-sync disaster. Or C, the moon landing.
Rachel, hold on. Before you say anything, what'd she say?
She said the moon landing, but she can't believe he's that stupid. That's exactly the right answer. Good.
I was going to help her.
We have a winner.
I was jumping in. Hang on. We don't have a winner yet. You ready? Question
that
number
might
5.
Be the most important question.
That's right, Rachel. Question number 5. Helena has it.
A man dressed up as Santa freaked a bunch of kids out last week by doing what?
A, ripping his fake beard off and screaming at the kids to get the Bucky's Auto Service out of here when a fire alarm started going off. B, stealing packages off people's porches. Or C, he stuck an eel up his nose but still thought the kids would want to sit on his lap.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
I have 2 toddlers, and all of that scares me. I'm going to say A and hope that it was a good event.
You are correct.
Yes.
Rachel, I know the show's a total surprise to you because you never listen, and it's obvious. Now, here's the important thing.
You got 2-2 in the end.
All right. By the way, Muckleshoot Bingo is proud to say you are the winner of the Know-It-All Quiz. A chance to win dinner to Anthony's Seafood Grill. It's Alderwood Mall. It's a drive for you from Lacey, but it'll certainly be worth it. You and one other person get an opportunity to go to Anthony's Seafood Grill. Bring the kids, pick out your favorite, and feed that one, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, hey, Rachel.
Although, and her husband's coming back by next week.
Oh,
so
there we go.
Yeah, be a celebratory dinner.
All right, hey, Rachel, we'll see you later. Are we see you down ashore, look at some water, maybe put some water in the radiator?
You know what? If I have it up to me, I'm never going back. We love Washington.
So
we might hang out here for a bit.
Good for
hey,
you.
What do you like about Washington best?
You know, we love the weather. It's awesome. Even the rain.
Yeah.
We like the rain. We like to get out and let our kids do stuff. We drove up to the Snoqualmie Pass last weekend and let them play in the snow. And it was just an awesome time.
Fantastic. Well, thank your husband for his service and raise 2 more Republicans. We need them here in the state of Washington. All right, Rachel.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And now, Tom, this way, throw the papers in the air.
That's right. Here we go.
What's the luck? How many people are watching? How many?
35. That's enough.
All right. Here we go. Thanks, Rachel, for listening. Thanks for playing along the Know-It-All Quiz, Muckleshoot Bingo. Also to Steve and Rob and Helena for stepping in and reading the questions. Doing a fine job. That wasn't so bad.
No, it went great.
That beats me sticking an enema up my nose. But these are classy people, Tom.
Yeah, yes,
they don't want to see that. We don't need to do that.
They're conservative for a reason.
Because they believe in freedom and limited government. The text line. A lot of people came in on the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. Here comes the mailman now.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me, I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door. Here's an argument from us 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you're an analogy and I'm an analogy.
Tom, there's a teeny tiny lady who spends every single day of her life in a pickle jar. I don't feel bad for her. That's exactly how she wants it, and I don't know where she is. Oh, there she is. She rolled under the table during the Know-It-All quiz, and nobody found her. There she is right now. Here, let's get started.
So we'll just people are welcoming me back on my physical return here, 206. Is Tom going to sell that couch? It's got to be a collector's item.
I will auction it off, and one of these suckers over here will buy it. Steve's like, I'm in. 425. Don't let him walk around anymore. It's too dangerous. Carry him to and fro the bus for the show's sake. Okay.
And Sean in Arlington. Now that you're back, my video feed now looks like it should when I enjoy the Tom and Curly show. But wait, it's now the holiday season when Tom leaves for a month. Well, we'll enjoy your return while we can.
Eric and Botha was once made famous by the show Welcome Back, Tom. Actually, you've been back to the show for a while, and the people who arranged that should be commended. Unless it was mentioned, nobody would have known Tom was lounging on a red sofa miles away, faces and gestures when John would say something to rile him. I think the chemical reaction works better when all the ingredients are in the same container. The chemistry of the two of you is no exception. Tom, keep up the physical therapy. The older we get, the harder it is to bounce back. Happy weekend, guys, and go Hawks. Thank you, Eric in Bothell, as always.
Once made famous by the show. On Inslee's budget plan, 406 writes in, the B&O tax absolutely gets passes along.
Yeah.
I'm a sales manager at a local auto dealer, and we have a separate line item to charge the customer for that every time. The governor is nuts.
Mm-hmm. 425, happy choir members here, chilling and nodding my head to everything John says.
Thank you, 425. Into the choir. The Santa freakout. Chris in Bremerton, but formerly from England. Ah, with an accent. St. Ives is in the southwest of the UK, so the English accent is inaccurate to the region. Please research the content before going on air. I couldn't put myself in the story because the accent was so off.
Cry me a river.
That's much better. That's much closer to St. Ives with that one. Marsha in Sandstrom? Where is that?
Oh, sorry. She's in Port Orchard.
Oh, yeah. It's Marsha in Port Orchard.
That's her last name.
That was my mistake.
Wow.
She's in a sandstorm.
I ran into her the other day, by the way.
Oh, did you? Good.
Yeah, I'm surprised at you. But I like yesterday's strange Iceland Christmas story better than swearing Christmas, telling the kids to escape the flames. Can't wait to hear what you find on Monday. Have a great weekend, guys.
And a 253, the Tom and Curly Show, much like a Johnny Carson monologue, is at its best, its pinnacle, if you will, when it has gone completely off the rails, which luckily for our listeners is pretty much the norm. P.S. Also, more slowly read Icelandic poetry. I'm begging you.
Boy, a lot of inside jokes.
Letter of the day comes from my namesake in Ferndale, Tom in Ferndale. Mm-hmm. I was up very early this morning, preparing the house for the special day, the return of an old friend. This is a special Christmas season event. The tree is up, the decorations hung, and the table set with my late grandma's best china. Above it all, hung high above the door, is the Welcome Back Tom banner, signed by all the kids in the family. Even our trusty old three-legged dog Scooter was lying by the front door in loyal anticipation for his master's return. As the 9 a.m. approached, I paced back and forth nervously, stopping and fiddling with the radio buttons, wondering if it would be just like old times. Yes, for the past few weeks, through the wonders of modern technology, Tom sounded like he was right there in the room. I asked myself, would he sound even more lifelike today? Would I be able to follow the rapid-fire conversations without the short delay between John's questions and Tom's answers? I'd grown used to the delay over the past few weeks, giving me time to think for a brief moment while listening to faint static and the ringing in my ears caused by years of listening to Cairo at unsafe volumes. When the antique living room grandfather clock finally chimed 9, I grabbed my cup of coffee, turned the radio on, and threw myself into my overstuffed easy chair. I was as happy as a kid on Christmas morning when I heard the music from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, followed by the creak of the studio door. Dabbing my tear-filled eyes with a twisted corner of a paper towel, I looked over to all the presents under the Christmas tree and realized none of them could come close to giving me the sheer joy that the gifts Tom and John had given me today. The sounds of a live nose enema and the return of Tom to the studio, I thought to myself, this is going to be the best Christmas ever!
Oh, my God. We still have some time.
Let me tell the story of the lads of few charms who once upon a time used to visit our farms.
Happy to be back, I think.
They came from the mountains as
slow
many of
Icelandic Christmas.
Bye.